welcome to the Trill NBA Show. I'm your host, Felicia Ann Rose Anuha, aka the Trillest NBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. Happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome to May. What? It's May? Yes. If you are listening to this on the day that this episode drops, it is May 1st, guys. 4 months are gone. That means we have 8 more to go. Doing the simple math in my head at this age is leaving my body. But today is going to be a bit of an update episode. Last week, I had the pleasure of speaking at the She League conference in Atlanta, Georgia. And when I tell you, it was amazing. It was an amazing day. And so today, what I want to do is do a little something different. We won't have a corporate warrior spotlight. I just want to come and really speak from the heart about my experience that day, which was the 23rd of April. So it hasn't even been a whole week yet. I just got back home a couple days ago. And I just really left this conference filled in my spirit. Thank you for everybody who came out and all the great people I met. Thank you guys who listened to the show. Thank you to new listeners who learned about me at the conference. I am just really proud of us. Really, really proud of just being a woman of color who is trying and striving in a world that wants to put us in certain boxes and kind of leave us there. So for today, I'm going to talk about some key lessons that I learned from participating in the She League conference. And I am inspired now to really work harder to focus on what I want for my career and all the things that I have been struggling with in my career. I really was inspired during this time. So first segment here, you know, I want to talk about personally what happened to me and the lesson that I learned just from myself. So first, let me talk about what the She League is. So the She League Incorporated was started by Morgan McClure. She is an attorney and she has a BBA in marketing and management from the University of Miami in Miami, Florida. And she has a JD from Georgetown University Law Center in DC. She's a corporate attorney and she focuses on mergers and acquisitions. But baby, let me tell you, that's the stuff on paper. When you meet this young woman, she is a light, she is a force, and she really has so much care and compassion. She has gone through or started going through the, you know, pains of corporate. And even though, you know, she has a mom and a dad who've been through the corporate ranks and they understand the space, I think what she recognizes is the space is changing and it's evolving and there's new challenges and there's an opportunity for us to gather and fellowship and learn from one another on how we can collectively help each other get through all of these things that go on as we're trying to climb ourselves up, you know, and how can we invest in ourselves and become women who support and challenge and empower each other? And so her vision for the She League is absolutely amazing. Shout out to all the people, you know, behind the scenes working. And I wish I knew everybody's names, but I met some amazing people. The planner was amazing. Everything was wonderful. Now, let me tell you where your girl fucked up.
What?
So, I have this thing, and, you know, we all have our insecurities. And one of my things is that I do not like to be on camera without a full beat. Like, I don't like to produce things for the podcast visually without me looking the absolute most best that I can. And even then, I'm hypercritical of myself, right? Because I grew up in the United States and I have all the baggage of being a Black woman, being a plus size woman, being who I am. And even at 44 years old, it still plays with me in different ways. So, like I said earlier, life happens. I mean, I planned everything out to a T. I hired makeup, got my hair done. I had a videographer, planned it all out weeks in advance. Film myself the whole workshop. It was our workshop I did around pie and really got to deep dive into why it's important and like actionable takeaways of what you need to do. I'm holding everybody to their homework. They came to my session. And unfortunately and scarily, and I pray everything's okay, my makeup artist in the middle of the night had a family emergency with her mother, and she could not, you know, she left to go be with her mom. And I absolutely am not anywhere near upset or any, like, I totally understand that and stuff happens. But I panicked and I just did not want to be on camera without a full beat. I mean, I didn't have my foundation. My best friend, Tiffany, who's been on the show, was with me and she ran to Target to get me eyelashes. Like, it was a whole, like, it was crazy. And at the last minute, I made a game time decision. I called the videographer up and I was like, I can't do this without feeling like I look my best. Like, I feel like it would have impacted what I was able to deliver, because I would have been in my head about, I'm going to be looking like this on camera. Quite frankly, honestly, like, I got good skin. like, I pulled it together with the little makeup I did have, even though I didn't have any foundation on. And so everybody was like, oh, you look great. You look great. And, you know, it dawned on me. It was like, you know, this wasn't about you. And this is content you could have shared with more people. But you made it about you in that moment and you didn't. And now forever is gone. Like, that moment is gone. And I regret that I allowed vanity to get in between what I'm actually supposed to be doing, what my gifts and my mission is. And I should have trusted my gut, because my gut was always, hey, you need to record this. And the other thing, something said, Felicia, just swallow. I went back and forth in my mind and I was like, you know, you should just do it uncomfortable. And I was just like, I can't. I didn't want to be self-conscious, because I didn't want my self-consciousness to block what I was going to give the people who came to my session that day. So a lot of lesson. But I think the number one is trust your gut, because it's funny. The night before, I told Tiffany, I said, what if the makeup artist doesn't show up? And I had this feeling, like I just had this, I can't even describe it, but it was like worrying me. It's that feeling and it's very subtle, but it's enough to make you ask and even say it out loud so that you can like convince yourself you're wrong. It's that same feeling when you get up in the morning and you have to leave to go somewhere and you don't check the weather. You just kind of look outside, but something tells you like, take your umbrella, and you look outside and it's just beautiful. It's gorgeous. It doesn't look like there's a cloud in the sky. You're like, okay, I'm just crazy. Like, you convince yourself that you're wrong. And the lesson for me, and I hope somebody gets something out of this, and it even goes back to in the workplace. When you get that feeling, trust it. Run towards it. Ask it questions. Or if it's something to say, hey, something's not going right, start contingency planning. What I should have did is said, you know what? Let me ask some of the other women that are going to be there if they are having a makeup artist come. And just in case mine doesn't, maybe they can. You know, it doesn't take a long time. It takes like 30 minutes to beat my face. And so, like, you know, I was like, well, maybe I should have done that. Like, and there were things telling me to do that or say something, but like, I couldn't process it. And I was telling myself I was crazy. But at the end of the day, my gut was right. And so, again, the lesson is, if you think your boss doesn't like you, she doesn't, for whatever reason. And it may not even be a real reason, right? But like, trust your gut. Like, something's not right. And it might not be the extreme. So that's where you have to get some discernment. And you have to say, okay, why am I thinking this? Or why am I feeling this? And what can I do differently? Or how do I contingency plan? Like, start mentally interacting and engaging with that feeling. Like, stop dismissing yourself and stop, you know, going the path of least resistance, because that doesn't really get us where we're trying to go. And unfortunately, because one of the plans I had was to take that video and put it on Patreon. Now I don't have content for the Patreon, and it would have been amazing. So at some point, I think I'll just record myself doing the presentation, but where the real lights in the moments were, you know, the interaction with the audience and them asking their specific questions about what they have going on, and us doing that troubleshooting that I am known for and what I'm really, really good at. So yeah, that was lesson number one. Trust your gut. When we get back from the break, I do want to talk about things that I learned from those interactions with the attendees. And, you know, we really need to all take a step back sometimes. And I'll talk more about what I mean by that when we get back from the break. Hey guys, thank you so much for everybody who has signed up new for the Patreon. You should be getting an email very, very soon with some very, very special instructions. I owe you guys an apology because we did not get the April session done. So all the people who were Patreons April 1st, because I had a glitch, you're going to get a very, very special something from me in your email box very, very soon. And I do apologize for not having my shit together and being able to figure out the Zoom webinar function and then realizing I think that I probably have to pay for it. So I'm gonna get my shit together for May. We will have our May session. So everybody signed up to Patreon by May, we will have the May webinar session live with me. So if you had signed up by April 1st, you will get a special treat from me, and I hope you like it. But you'll get a very special email coming shortly this week from my team. And then if you sign up before May 1st or by May 1st, you will be eligible to join us in the May webinar and get to talk to me live. So I'm very excited to meet with everybody, and I hope that you continue to support the Trill MBA show. I greatly appreciate it. We are growing, so make sure you also tell all of your friends. And if you have any questions, always hit me up at ask@trillmba.com. Now back to the show. All right, and we are back. So one of the things I recognized from my sessions and the questions that I had was there is a definite consensus, it feels like, around how we have been taught to move through the workplace. And so one of the things that I want to fight against is the Black woman's need to do everything on her own. And I am guilty, okay? This is not an indictment. This is a call a spade moment. This is a, we gonna hold each other accountable. So sis, you hold me accountable, I hold you accountable. But we definitely gotta ask for help, guys. One of the participants in my session that came to one of my sessions, we talked after the session, and she shared with me, you know, she just felt like she really needed to get her MBA. She's like, I listened to your show, and because of you, I'm gonna go get my MBA. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, whoa. That always concerns me. I'm like, where are you going? And she's like, oh, I'm going to XYZ school that didn't require a GMAT score and was online. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Then I start asking all the questions. And I'm so glad that she asked. And for any of you who are thinking about getting your MBA, because you listen to this show, I need you to hear me. I do not agree with most of how you guys are going about getting the MBA or why you're getting the MBA. And I need you to be very strategic with your time and resources around getting an MBA. You have to understand exactly what you want the MBA to give you. So in this situation, I had a young woman who was killing it in her career, had a great education so far, and in fact, is making a decent salary, like solidly into the six figures past the one, okay? So like, why are you going back and getting an MBA? Because when you look at the salaries of people coming out, even if you go to Harvard, like, you already there, sis. Like, what are we talking about? And you also are in a very specialized function and industry. And so, and this industry is growing and all these things. And you're like, well, I need to check the box. Or, you know, she was telling me like, well, they're grooming me and I didn't want to leave my company because I'm doing so well and they're moving me up and I'm getting these promotions and they see me, you know, as their future. And I was like, perfect. Now let's pause and think about, you know, if you're saying, you know, I'm going to need this check the box down the line as I, you know, switch over from individual contributor to, you know, people manager, I need to show when I go up, you know, for these roles that, you know, I have the credentials. I'm like, well, let's think through that. Because is it that you need this online MBA that has, I don't want to say no name, but, or do you need the flash in the pan executive program, something that resonates with people and has a brand name, and that's going to help solidify your check the box. So my point to her was, let's think smarter and more strategic. So, okay, I don't want to leave my company. I don't want to go to school full time. And I will need this check the box down the line. Like I can kind of see it to help me be competitive. Okay, so with the MBA, it's about name brand. It's about the highest ranked school you can get into. You know, this is a game. So like when people tell me they've gone to MBA programs that didn't require a GMAT, I'm always like, flag on the play. That's outside the game boundary. I already know that that program, and as good as it may be, and you may learn a lot, but who in that program is really going to be your peer? That's really going to like be a network for you. The other thing I don't like about a lot of these programs is that they don't have career services for you. You're literally just paying them a lot of money to check a box, but the paper doesn't propel you. It may check one box, but it can't check the future boxes that you needed to check because it's just not what you thought it was. And I see it all the time. So I need us to believe in ourselves enough to say, I'm going to go to the best school I can get into. Or in a lot of the top schools, you know, Harvard, Stanford, Wharton, those schools have executive programs. They have online programs that you can do while you work. Because why? They have them for white men who need to check the box. And so you got to think about those are the networks that you want to get into if you're not going to go get the MBA full time. Before you go get your MBA, you have to understand the game. If you don't understand the game, then you need to ask for help and you need to pay attention. You've got to learn this game, okay? So a lot of us, you know, we're told, go to school, get a good job, go to grad school, check boxes, all this stuff. But there's a whole strategy to that. And I think about like my poor mother, she knew enough to know that I need her to go to the best that I know of. And the best that she knew of was the University of Texas at Austin, which is absolutely like the University of Texas at Austin is a school that a lot of people cannot get into. Let's be very clear. I just had to sign my name on a piece of paper and I got in because I'm that girl with the grades, right? But like, you gotta understand, even that, now that I know more, I should have went to Harvard, Stanford, Princeton, right? Like, that's where I should have gone. I got waitlisted for Princeton, and my mom, she wasn't even trying to have me leave the state, so that, it was a whole thing. But now that I know better, oh my goodness, if you're going to play this little game, you got to understand the game. Another really great play for us, especially if you know that you need the guidance or you need the push or the motivation, you're not completely self-motivated at a big PWI, is to go to HBCU. But again, it's, you got to be selective with the HBCU you go to as well. You got to look at who is coming out of these schools. Where are they now? What's that network look like? So that gives you an indication of the weight of the program and, you know, what it means in the world, and not just in that state and not just in the town. Like, all over the country, people know, even though it's a state school, people know the University of Texas at Austin. Oh, that's the Ivy League of state schools. Fight me. Fight me. We will go blows to blows if you think any different, because it just is what it is. And if you hating, it's probably because you couldn't get in. Let's just be real quick. And that's for the haters. So if you ain't a hater, you shouldn't even feel any kind of way about what I'm saying. But the point is, guys, if you're going to play the education game, play the education game to the best of your ability. Don't settle for the community college. Don't settle for like what the bare you can do. If you're listening to this podcast, that now means you know better. And I don't care if your grades are horrible or you don't think your grades, apply anyway. Get somebody to help you with them essays. Tell your story. Why are your grades trash? Why do you think you could still compete, right? It's all about the story you tell. Get somebody to help you. Go visit the campuses. But like, even if you're like a C student, but you worked full time and you still had all your activities, still try for the best school. I think about all the white men whose grades were C student grades and they still went to Harvard because of their network. You may not have the network, but sometimes you can tell a story that will unlock hearts and minds. Do that. But don't tell yourself no before you even try. Don't think, if you're looking at MBA programs, don't think, oh, I can't get into Harvard. Did you try? Oh, well, my GMAT score is, but did you try? Because it's not just about the GMAT score. It is about the story you tell. And it's about knowing what story to tell to get in. The story you tell to Harvard should be a different story you tell to Stanford, should be a different story you tell to Wharton. But I'm telling you, there is a profile of students, whether you're Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, Indian, what are the main color boxes they try to put us in? It doesn't matter. If you pay attention, you will see there's a prototype that they're looking for. Tell them people what they want to hear. Pay attention, learn, figure it out. And then if you are letting money stop you, then you shouldn't be listening to my show. Money should never stop you from doing what you need to do for yourself to play the long game. Figure that shit out. And if you got to take some student loans out, you take them student loans out. And then you work a plan to get them bad boys paid off as soon as possible. But now you've put yourself in more fertile soil to do that faster. You've got to be resourceful. And while you're in school, make really good grades so that you can get more scholarships. Keep applying for scholarships. Keep applying for grants. Keep applying, keep applying, keep applying. There's money out here if you try. You just have to Google. And we all know how to Google now. If you send up here talking about, I don't know how to find, then I just don't know what to do with you. Stop listening to this show. All right. When we get back from the break, I'm going to tell you the most important thing that I learned and got from my overall experience from last Saturday. And I'm telling you, it's just a very simple thing that we all need to start doing as women of color when we get back. So listen, I need a favor. Can you take however you listen to this, can you copy the link and text it to all your friends? Put it in the group chat, you know, let everybody know about this show. That is what I need you to do. You've been holding and hoarding and hiding this show all for yourself. Stop doing that. Let the people have this knowledge. Hey, you know what? Even share it with your white friends, because they got stuff they can learn too. Now, if they uncomfortable, because, you know, I really don't be talking to them or acknowledging their presence in any much of a way except for the shenanigans they do at work, then let them be uncomfortable. They'll be all right. If they real allies, they will be supportive of listening to this show. Yeah, they will. So, yeah. Share the show. That's all you got to do. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell people that don't even listen to podcasts. You just got to let everybody know that this show is a resource to help them navigate their career, whether they're a Black woman or not. But we know what this is. It's time for the world to know about this show. I know it's been our little secret, but it's time for us to go public. Okay? All right, back to the show. All right, guys, you know what time it is. It's time for
the most important thing.
So I mentioned this in the last segment, but I have to reiterate it. It is truly, truly, truly amazing to me that we even need the She League conference. But we need it. Like, we need air. We need these spaces, because what I saw and what I met was just a lot of people unsure. And the biggest lesson I learned is that all of us are carrying some bit of uncertainty and unsureness about ourselves. I mean, even the most confident people at this conference were still, you know, I could feel it, just a bit unsure and hoping to learn something that would give them an unlock. And for me, I hope that the biggest takeaway everybody got from all the speakers this past weekend in Alpharetta, Georgia, which is, I call it Atlanta. You know, I'm from Texas. Everything's Atlanta, even if it's outside the perimeter. But, you know, we just need to believe in ourselves. And I know as you matriculate through your career, you come up against these things like, you know, microaggressions and bullying and, you know, just people not being kind to you, people mistreating you in different ways. And it has a way of chipping away at us, right? And what I hope that attending any conference where we create a safe space for us to have real conversation and for us to be vulnerable, I hope that you take away that you just need to believe in yourself. And you're not alone in the fight to believe in yourself, right? This isn't easy at all, climbing the corporate ladder, or whether your career is in academia, education, K-12, or, you know, any other type of education that's not university. If you work in government, if you work in nonprofits, oh my God, we really got to do a show about nonprofits. or if you work, you know, in these big old big dog blue chip companies, I just really want you to believe in yourself. If you put your mind to it, if you have a dream and a vision, just go do that. The other thing, believing in yourself, the other part that you need to muster up is we have this want for certainty and for assuredness to, like, see the path. And what I'm learning for myself and what I'm seeing in a lot of people is that we have some people who have, like, made some trails and some roads. And so you think, oh, okay, well, I can just kind of follow in their footsteps. But the reality is you can't. I mean, you can do some similar things, but that doesn't guarantee you that you're going to get to their destination where they are. And you're not going to quite get to their destination because it's not your destination. And so we have to get comfortable. And part of getting comfortable is a belief in yourself. But we have to get comfortable in not knowing the answers, Because there are no right answers. There's just not. And so one thing I realized in this conference, I was talking with a young lady and I was telling her, and I had this realization in the moment when we were talking, like, you know, one of my biggest regrets is that I always wanted to be in media and I always wanted to, you know, do television and film and TV shows and like produce things and make things like this. Like I was in theater in high school, but that, you know, my mom was like, you need to be a doctor. And so we have these noises around us that tell us you should do this. It's the safe thing to do. If you have something in your heart, though, it's funny. You can take all the safe bets you want, but eventually you're going to come right back around to the thing that you were supposed to be doing all this time. Now I'm on the verge of starting this media company, you know, with this podcast and with some of the other projects that I'm going to be working on next year. And I realized, like, oh, I was 21, actually, and I was working for CBS Radio. And so, like, over 20 years ago, I wrote all this down, what I wanted to do, what I saw for myself. And I just didn't believe in myself. And I was scared. And I listened to everybody because I didn't want to make any mistakes. And the funny thing is, the only mistake that I made was not listening to myself and full force going after what I wanted when I was younger and I had more energy and my knees were better. But honestly, it seems like even 20 years later, even after a whole career in marketing, still working in marketing, but I foresee over, you know, call it 5 years, a huge transition for me into a new career. And it's scary. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I wouldn't be the trillest if I did. But when I thought about it, I was like, oh, wow, I just wasted 20 years only to come right back around to where, you know, I was going to go or wanted to go anyway. Now, all of it, I can't say it was all a waste, right? Everything happens for a reason. I wouldn't even be able to do what I did this weekend had I never had a career in corporate. And, you know, I wouldn't be able to help all the people that I'm helping. So I think my steps have been ordered to a certain extent, despite me, despite the flawed individual that you are listening to in this moment. The universe is conspiring in our favor. So I want you to go forth boldly into your career. And I want you to forget the noise. Forget what everybody says you should do. What do you want? What do you want to do with your life? And answer to yourself. Go look yourself in the mirror and say, girl, what are we doing? And go after that thing that's deep in your heart, no matter how crazy it is. Stop telling yourself you're crazy. Stop ignoring it. Because you're going to look up and 20 years is going to go by and you're going to be right there like, oh shit, I'm doing what I had said. Like by fucking happenstance, it feels like. But at the end of the day, the reality is this is what you're supposed to be doing the whole goddamn time. You just didn't know. Or you didn't believe yourself and you let the voices outside you scare you. Stop it. Learn from my mistake. Don't do that. We don't know how much time we have. And we don't know how much time we have to share with the people that we love. Don't waste time. All right, guys. So, as always, if you need some help or advice about a specific situation, go to trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a 45-minute consultation with me to strategize and walk through your specific work situation. In addition, you can always email us at ask@trillmba.com. I am happy to either answer your question or connect you to the right person. If I don't have the answer, I can find somebody that will help us, sis. Okay? Again, that's trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a 45-minute consultation with me and ask@trillmba.com to submit your question or concern. If you submit a listener letter, you will get a free session. So put listener letter in the subject line and let me know that I can talk about your specific situation on the air. We'll not use your name, but definitely we'll answer your question and then we can do a follow-up one-on-one session. So again, guys, it's May. What we doing? What's happening out here? You know, I am going to have a hot girl summer this summer. I'm going to figure that out. I don't know how to have a hot girl summer. I'm probably too old to have a hot girl summer, but I don't even care because I never have one. So we're going to figure that out. I'll let y'all know how that goes. But I really appreciate everyone who came out to the SheLead Conference. It was a blessing to me, and I hope that I was able to share my gifts with you. Thank you, Tiffany Samuels, my B-School BFF. It's so good to have friends that will care for you when you don't know how to ask for help. So thank you. And with that, y'all, happy May. I'll see you guys next week. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia and Rose Inuha. Sound design and editing by Chris Mann with Podshaper. Theme music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.